Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number 9, let me lie. Feline, with a death wish. Right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
To be honest, if I went with my first instinct, this would just be a two-hour Superman teaser trailer reaction show. James Gunn is at it again. I don't even care about Superman, but he's got me. I gotta admit, if I'm picking DC superheroes, Superman would not even be at the top of my list. But that trailer, after the teaser to the teaser trailer premiered yesterday, they had the actual trailer today. And Superman's back. Crypto's in it. That is Superman's pet dog. So there that is. But I got to get away from my natural instincts and talk about nerd stuff, to talk about being told no. The Astros were told no by Nolan Arenado. And it was met with resounding relief and pretty much thank you, Nolan Arenado, for not wanting to play here. The declining nature of his stats played a part. The Jose Abreu PTSD is playing a part as well. But beyond not adding a player who could help or maybe even hurt your roster, I'm interested in how this broke down, because how do baseball trades work, or attempted ones work, where the guy has a no trade clause, you do all this work to come to an agreement on a deal, and then there's that final step of, you know, actually convincing the player to want to play for you. So how did this go? Did the Astros work with the thought that at some point they'd be able to convince Nolan Arenado? Because that seems backwards. That seems like you actually reach out to the player first. At least I would do this. Reach out to the player first. See if he wants to play here. And if he doesn't, then don't waste your time making a deal. Like, who's the most likely person on the Astros, or at least in their front office, to convince Nolan Arenado to play, to waive his no trade? We know the Verlander thing, the first trade, was something that they needed to convince him to leave Detroit, and Jim Crane got involved and others, and eventually he acquiesced at the last moment and became an Astro, and the rest is history. Did Craig Biggio call Nolan Arenado? Did Jeff Bagwell? Who got on the phone? Or did it never get to that point because the agent was like, nah, not going to happen? It feels like a giant waste of time that everyone's happy didn't come to fruition. I need logistical answers. Like the McTaggart breakdown, the national breakdown of Arenado saying no, I don't care about that. Explain to me how you can get so far down the rabbit hole of making a trade happen and then realize, oh yeah, the most important aspect of it, the guy doesn't want to play here. How does that work? Baseball's weird. Like in basketball, if a player has a no trade, we find out Bradley Beal has waived his no trade for these teams. We found that out with Nolan Arenado, but with Bradley Beal, when he put teams on his list, the other teams who weren't on his list didn't get through the process of trying to make a deal. So why are the Astros involved in a deal for a guy who had no intention of playing for you? Sean, you're a bigger baseball guy than me. Can you explain to me why they got this far down the road without actually convincing the guy they needed to convince to change his mind?
I get that you do some of the work on the front. Like, you can't just, like, hey, was Nolan Arenado? I think, okay, never mind. But this was described as, like, the deal was on the one-yard line. I'd say once you hit the red zone, you should probably...
At some point.
You should probably just, like, by the way, is this all for nothing? Unless they're just trying to get, like, billable hours. Are they hourly? Maybe...
The negotiators out hourly.
Yeah.
I hope they're on salary.
Maybe or one of the interns, Dana Brown's like, hey, listen, Christmas is coming up. I'll get you some hours. You know, just crunch all these numbers for me. Take as much time as you need. And boom, $8 an hour. You're good. Because I imagine they pay guys $8 an hour.
Yeah, of course. Did they spend the better part of 3 weeks, a month, trying to work this thing out without actually how long did this take to them to get to the one-yard line and then come up short, get stopped on fourth and goal? Actually, you know what? It's not even a stop on fourth and goal. They're Jonathan Taylor. They fumble the ball right before they cross the goal line, because the most important thing is to get across the goal line with the football. The most important thing is to get the player to say he wants to play here.
Yeah. I from what it sounds like is that this negotiations really kind of picked up steam or were, you know, maybe even started it during the winter meetings between Dana Brown and the Cardinals GM. So I can see that, where it just starts as, yeah, conversations. Would this work? Would that work? Yada, yada, yada. But for it to get, like, so far down the line, and maybe some of this is just, like, the reporting of it, of, like, there actually isn't a one-yard line for negotiating deals.
No, it's either done or not done.
Like, maybe they just got to a point where they felt good about, you know, this is how much money we're comfortable, you know, for the Cardinals, this is how much money we're comfortable eating, or how much cash we're willing to send with Arenado, because that's probably going to be the biggest part of any Arenado deal, is how much of his, not cap number, but how much of his salary are the is St. Louis willing to pay. And a lot of that has really nothing to do with Nolan Arenado, and I wonder if it feels more of a Cardinals negotiation tactic with the teams that Nolan Arenado wants to go to, where they said, hey, listen, we were basically accepting a trade from the Astros where we were going to take X amount of money. That's all the money we're going to take. So maybe it's more of a Cardinals using the Astros as, like, a negotiating tool here. But also, like, Dana Brown, can you have some better things to do than to basically be doing a hypothetical trade? Because basically what he did is what we did the day Jimmy Butler list of preferred destinations came out and the Rockets were on it, where we just were on the trade machine. That's kind of what it felt like Dana Brown was doing in real life, was just kind of tinkering around the trade machine, trying to get the Cardinals to accept. And then, oh, yeah, by the way, this won't happen, so... Nice talking to John Mozeliak or whatever the Cardinals GM's name is.
That's where we stand. They tried to make a move to address some issues, and the guy and the main component of it said, actually, I'd rather not play there. Now, Katie Wu said that a decision isn't final, and the Cardinals and Astros will continue conversations.
Oh,
but
my God.
That comes from, I know, that comes from The Athletic. But if you look at what MLB.com has out there, Brian McTaggart, among others, reporting, they're not actually close to a deal, and the Astros aren't optimistic that they'll get Nolan Arenado to change his mind.
Not optimistic.
Not optimistic. So we've heard Dana Brown be optimistic about a lot of things, guys coming back from injury, getting a deal done with certain players.
Yeah.
This one, not optimistic, which, if we go by Dana Brown's recent history, would suggest that Arenado's an Astro by Friday.
It is interesting that the Cardinals side of it, like the Cardinals B reporter, is saying how close the deal was, and Brian McTaggart's like, the deal wasn't that close.
No, not that close.
So I do wonder if it is like a Cardinals, like, leak job of that's
try to get someone else motivated
job, but like a Cardinals floating it out there, trying to make the market seem hotter than it is.
Yeah. So were the Astros being used? If we're going by what feels like the Astros side of the equation, they're saying a deal wasn't imminent. They were talking, but they weren't anywhere near getting that job done. And maybe that's just based on the fact that the main component of it was not going to happen, getting the player to want to come here. So he says, no, it's not the end of the world. As I started the show with, you know, after the Superman stuff, a lot of people didn't want that to happen. They didn't want Arenado here. They didn't want an older player here. And it gives people some hope, right or wrong, if you're talking about logically, that now that Arenado appears to be off the table, the Astros can place more of their focus on bringing back Alex Bregman. Because the Astro people online are telling us, according to people they know, that they're still in it. And this is one of those things where you need context from the people in their engagement farming. What do you mean still in it? The still in it mean the Astros have a number, and if Bregman never gets close to that number anywhere else, they're certainly willing to give it to him? Or are they actively negotiating and trying to meet Bregman's number? Because still in it can simply mean he's still available. They have an offer out there. He hasn't taken another one. So technically, he could always take theirs. He could always take it.
Yeah. No one else has, like, knocked him over with an offer. So they're all in the same ballpark. Like, yeah, that is effectively meaningless to me.
To me as well.
Also, like, so they were varying degrees of close to trading for a third baseman. And you mean to tell me that, okay, you know what? Never mind. Now we're gonna re-sign Alex Bregman. Like, never mind. Okay,
that didn't work out for us. But we'll go right.
We'll spend the extra $10 million a year for 4 more years to sign this guy.
We were appeared to do anything in our power not to give the guy the deal he wanted, and we're certainly serious about finding another option. In fact, we've already traded for someone who could play third base.
Yeah, I was going to say that. We already traded for a guy who is at least theoretically a third baseman. He couldn't play first, but yeah, it's a very funny, like, okay, now back to plan A.
Yes.
All right, dude.
Okay, all right, guys, we'll see. So that's where we stand.
I do have a question about the Arenado part of it.
For the Astros or just for this show?
For the Astros.
What's your question for the
Astros? Astros fans and Astros. Astros fans celebrating the fact that a guy exercises no trade clause to block a trade to his team, to their team, is very funny. It also is interesting because Nolan Arenado, it's been framed as he wants to play for a contender. Okay, sure. But then shouldn't that be bad that he looked at the Astros and were like, not a contender.
Hey, don't say the quiet part out loud.
But then I was curious because I remember he did have a list out there.
He did. Was his list full of contenders or teams who were obviously better than the Astros? I don't think it was. Was it?
Dodgers, Padres, Angels. And he's from Southern California.
So the Angel thing.
Yeah.
I think it would make some sense.
I think it's a I'm from Southern California thing. So because it's in addition to having the Dodgers, Padres, Angels on his wish list, Arenado is also willing to accept a trade to the Phillies, Mets, or Red Sox.
All teams who you would say, now the Red Sox have some work to do, but you would say are willing to be really, really competitive this year, are trying to be really, really competitive. The Angels is the one, which one of these things is not like the other. Of course, we've talked about the Southern California thing. So the Astros, he doesn't consider the Astros amongst teams?
I think it's just he doesn't want to play for the Astros.
I think that's true.
I think his bar for what a contender is, like,
can vary.
Yeah, I mean, the Red Sox were like below 500.
Yeah, they weren't
year.
Good.
The Mets were varying degrees of sorry throughout the year,
and they got hot.
and they signed Juan Soto.
Yeah, they're making moves to be better.
No? Because he's getting his money either way. It's just how much. I was gonna say, is that a hey? These guys are gonna pay me like crazy.
He's under contract.
It'll
just be multiple teams handling the bulk of his deal. No matter who trades for him, that team is going to get help from the Cardinals to make that deal work. The Astros certainly are going to get that if they could have convinced Arenado. So I don't know if the contender stuff flies. Like you said, it could just be I have no interest in playing for any. Maybe not the city doesn't bother him so much, but the team itself, he doesn't want to play for the Astros. And we could guess what that might be about. But no matter what, right now, Arenado doesn't want to be here. The Astros wanted him here. and they have to adjust.
Or he's, or it's like, I prefer to play for these six teams, and I would rather just play out the I would rather have them, like, actually turn me down or actually have a third base option. Because the Mets and Red Sox are two teams that are rumored to be in it for Alex Bregman as well. So if one of the, if I, obviously they can't both sign Alex Bregman, but if one of them signs Alex Bregman, another one trades for a different third base. Like, if the third base spots start filling up, is he really going to be like, nope, still no to the Astros. I'd rather be on this sorry Cardinals team.
Well, the Cardinals, part of it is they want to make a trade.
Yes, they want him out.
They want him out. So I don't think he's going to end up a Cardinal no matter what. Now, with that trade clause, I mean, with that no trade clause, he could keep them from sending him to Siberia, baseball Siberia.
The Angels? But, well, actually, he would be like, bring on Siberia.
Yeah, he welcomes Siberia.
I grew up around Siberia.
Because it'd be closer to home. So he does have the ability to protect themselves from the Cardinals just dumping him someplace. But it came back to bite the Astros, at least the organization. The fans aren't bothered by it, but the team itself wanted him in a uniform.
Are the Dodgers going to trade for this?
You just throw the Dodgers on the list because they'll pay anyone. Let's say, who knows what they'll do.
That's why I think the Dodgers and Mets are on there, because it's like they have a lot of money. So they'll, it's not like they'll turn me down on its face by how much money I make. Like, he's not going to put like the Rays on there, where it's like the Rays are just as good as most of these teams on the list. He's just like, they will not pay me. So
he doesn't want to
play,
waste
my time,
70-something games in a minor league stadium in 2025.
That Maybe I forgot about that. Yeah. That's bad, but. Yeah, and also the Padres have Manny Machado. Like, what? Why would they trade for you, dude?
I don't know. No, maybe he doesn't mind being a backup someplace. I don't know what his deal is. He just, one of the teams.
It's just a funny list, and then to go, like, I want to play for a contender. Also the Angels.
Contenders, some contenders who don't really have a spot for me, some contenders who are in on a
different
big money
guy.
Third baseman. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Just keep me out of Houston. And we'll go from there.
Keep me out of St. Louis and keep me out of Houston.
Yeah. Yes. Those are the two no-goes for Nolan Arenado so far. So we'll see. Let's also, you want to talk about the Warehouse Live guy. We'll get to you when we come back. Anyone want to get in on what we just discussed? You can, 713-780-3776. We'll hear from Titus Howard. Sean and I discuss the odd positioning of, now that he's a left guard, he never had any problems playing guard. We'll hear from the man himself on that subject matter. But as I said, 713-780-3776 is the number. Also, we have not talked really much about the CFP. We got a game tomorrow, so Sean and I will kind of go through, beyond the obvious Texas bias that Sean has, We'll go through the best matchups, the things that we think are most compelling, a little bit later in the show. So we're just getting started here. We will be back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
All right, let's get to La Salsa here. He has thoughts on the Warehouse Live guy. That's Justin, formerly the Black Horse Limo guy. Now, if you're looking for a good time with good music, cover band or regular band, you can go check out what Justin provides at Warehouse Live. But La Salsa, what's up?
Hey, good morning, Deli Belly.
Not my name.
So, what does the Warehouse Live guy get if he wins? Also, I had the little Mijo in the car, and he wants to know what a double bang is.
Justin gets mentions. His business gets mentioned over and over again every week during the football season. That's what he gets. And if he doesn't win, which he has done a lot of, actually, he's won a lot. He gives a listener a free ride, as long as they're not like in Beaumont or something. He gives them a free ride and tickets to a Rockets game. Justin has tickets to Texans and Rockets right now. He's trying to give away Heat Rockets tickets. I think it's December 29th or something like that. But that's how it works, La Salsa.
Can I play? And then I can take you to the game. We can. No. I wear my Rocket stuff. You wear your Heat stuff.
I don't need a show outing to the game. No, that'll be slap dab in middle of vacation time. I'm not. No.
Yeah, you don't want to watch a late December game.
Nah.
Maybe Jimmy Butler plays.
Who knows who he's playing for at that point? Who knows? Is it the second of a back to back? There's a chance he's not available. You never know.
Is there a tennis tournament in town?
At that time of the year, probably not.
I just wanted to get the tennis joke.
Understood.
Off. Miami Open.
Understood. I don't think Jimmy's looking to go to some random F1 tournament. Okay. I mean, I don't think we have a great. I wouldn't say tennis community. I'm sure the people who play are great people or whatever. But we don't bring like a lot of pros here and have tournaments. Not that I'm aware of. So Jimmy's not going to be interested.
Okay.
So no.
So he might play.
But to answer your question is no, you cannot play. It's for listeners only.
I know. It's against the bylaws.
That have not been written. It's just accepted that.
Unwritten rules?
Yes. Unwritten rule. Employees cannot be involved in giveaways that listeners have a chance
that
to
actually
win.
Might be a written rule somewhere.
Yeah, because
employee handbook.
Guys like go to jail for that stuff.
Yes.
So it might be written somewhere. I just know there have been several radio guys who found their way to jail for screwing up a contest so they can win it. So we're not going to do that here. The most involvement I have is making sure you haven't played the game before this year. I try to dip my hand in that to make sure everyone gets a shot. But other than that, kind of free run for anyone who wants to try to play. So there, I think I've explained the business side of it for Justin. John and he are friends. I'm sure it's just a fun time to pick games and whatever, so on and so forth. As far as that other thing, you didn't have anyone in your car, so I'm not going to explain double banger to you.
Well, it just means that they have two sides of the same pick.
Yes, that's all it means. It's not anything salacious, although it turns into that at some point. But what it is the game means more, like every game in the SEC. Two sides, head-to-head, it could determine the outcome of the entire contest. That's why we give it so much attention. There, explain.
I don't think that's the full reason. I think it's also they like to yell and go,
you know how often I am now just dropping their mics to a level that doesn't kill the people who are listening. I'm like, all right. It doesn't really have that much effect because they're still yelling, but I try.
And it's also long enough to where it's like worth like, okay, like this is going to be the next 15 seconds straight.
Sure.
Let me just knock it down a peg.
So for people who are in your cars going, oh no, not another double banger. It's not nearly as fun as those guys think it is. I'm trying. I'm trying to make sure your speakers aren't blown out by their unwillingness to understand the listening audience might not think it's as fun. Started with Raheel, of all people, surprisingly enough. He's the one who kind of brought it to the table.
Not that surprising. The name isn't surprising.
Yeah, that was implied in my surprisingly enough. Yes. Not surprising at all. Raheel Ramzanali, host of CityCast. Haven't heard from him in a little bit. He may be out at the Christmas party. Another reason to go. The Christmas party is on Monday out at Nick's place. You're going to get a chance to win prizes, see all the shows in person if you're out there. And maybe you have to win a contest. Maybe it's just a raffle. It'll probably depend on the value of the prize. But we're going to do that, our yearly Christmas party, once again, out at Nick's place. Come out there and join us. The festivities start officially at 7, but we'll be in the building by like 6, at least 6:30, because we got to set up everything. So get there early. John will probably buy some of you a bucket of Coors Light. That's his bag. So maybe you'll be able to enjoy that too. So looking forward to that on Monday. Speaking of all the holiday festivities, Sean, I am a person who doesn't have to buy a lot of Christmas gifts. I've already got it done. Are you done? Are you good? Or is the weekend going to be something that you're going to have to use to get everything out of the way?
Probably the weekend. It's probably what I'm looking at. Or maybe today or tomorrow. It's been I'll do it today or tomorrow thing for like a week.
Of course, it always is. Yeah, that's my thought all the time. Until I eventually do it, it's always, I'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, the weekend, it's always that.
And then, oh, Christmas Eve.
I was like, uh-oh. Then
you
I started looking at things. Oh, if I don't order it today,
it
won't get there in time. So that, that really gets
deadline
me,
of like 3 days ago.
That really gets me in action because I had to order something for my mom, and I'm like, oh, this won't get here. This won't get there on time unless I do it right now. Yeah. So then I did it last night. So there it is. So it's easy for me. I'm buying a couple things. For all of you out there who got to buy like a treasure trove of gifts, good luck. Good luck if you've got like 20 people you got to make happy.
Yeah, or even like more than two kids.
Yeah.
Because you have to buy like several things.
Yeah, you're not buying just one thing for a kid. That's a terrible Christmas if you only get one gift for your kid.
That's bad on you.
For having the kids in the first place.
Well, for only the one gift. Come on.
Yeah, you can't just single. You can't do the single gift for the kid. Because even if you're sure they're going to like it, they're always going to want something else.
It is fun to open presents. Like that is just what one of our ancestors figured out hundreds of years ago is, you know, it's fun putting something in a box and unwrapping it.
It's very true. Being surprised by it, or not even that surprised, but just getting the chance to open it and see it. We are all kids. We're all looking under the tree and maybe scratching a piece off of the wrapping paper to try to check what you're actually going to get. It's part of our DNA. And good luck to everyone out there. It's a big weekend. Hopefully you get everything done quickly so you can be in your homes, because there's a lot of college football. Like, plan it out. You guys should be – honestly, sports fans should be done by now. Do you really want to be out on Saturday?
That is true.
The game started at 11. We're going to have the games here starting at 11 on ESPN ISM5. We got the game tomorrow night starting at 6:30, Indiana versus Notre Dame.
So if I do need to drive around, I can just listen to it.
Yes, if you have not done the proper preparations and have to drive around because you got to get gifts, you can listen to all the games here starting on Friday night, starting tomorrow night, Indiana and Notre Dame. And that one really has a NCAA tournament. Hey, these two teams never play each other. Let's put them together. I know that's not how it came about, but that's what it feels like. Like, they never play. Let's make sure they play.
Yeah, they never play, and they are in the same state, which is an interesting setup for them. Because Notre Dame, like, it's not like they're like Indiana, not good enough to play.
Yeah, Notre Dame will play Purdue.
Like,
they'll play another in-state school that's not good in the Big Ten. Indiana's having a big year this year, a surprising one. But so it has never been of any value for Notre Dame to play Indiana when they have, in their history, have always played the bigger name Big Ten schools. And then you'll throw in a Purdue from time to time. And it's mostly been Michigan, and they throw in Michigan State, Penn State. If you know the history, you know what Notre Dame does. But Indiana's not really been on the list, but you'll get to see them. And maybe Indiana, there's no maybe about it. Indiana's best team since I've been alive. I mean, I love the Antoine Randall L teams at 9 a.m. on the West Coast when I was in California when he was playing quarterback. But this is modern Indiana's best team ever, and they get to go see Notre Dame. I don't think Notre Dame's going to run away with it if Indiana can. If their defense showed up like they did early against Ohio State, I think they got a shot to keep it close. I just don't know if they're going to be able to score enough.
Yeah, that's where I land, where I think it should be if they, like you said, hold up on defense, take care of the ball, they should be able to at least make it a game at halftime. And then I think third, fourth quarter, you might see some pull away of just that's where, like, the depth of these two rosters come into play, where the Indiana or Notre Dame can just rotate defensive linemen more. They can rotate their defense. There are even the offense if they ever want to let Riley Leonard throw the ball, maybe not. I don't know, but they can kind of outlast Indiana. I can see a kind of dam breaking situation late in the game, but yeah, I would imagine if I'm Indiana, I'm trying to run the ball and play good defense and just stick around. Hope Riley Leonard gives you two turnovers and you're in a good spot.
Yeah, we'll get more into the CFP later in the show, because that one, I just think it's fun because of all the things surrounding it, but the games themselves, I feel like the Tennessee-Ohio State one is the most compelling. And then we have James Franklin complaining, kind of, about what the environment might be for SMU-Penn State. So we'll get to that a little bit later. We'll hear from Titus Howard when we come back, though. Titus Howard now at guard. I know he doesn't want to play guard. He talks about it in the clip that he still is a tackle. But he is accepting the move because what it might mean for the team this year. So we'll hear from Titus Howard when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
During the break, I'm sitting here in the studio, and I can hear Joe lamenting picking, I guess, Boise State to play with. Joe is now one of us. One of us. One of us. He's now in, all in on EA College Football 25. He was always going to get the game. It just took him more time than he was. Not the crazy person that we were, where we're spending the extra bucks to have it early. But he's now playing it, and I could hear him comparing it to Madden. And by the way, the news is it the highest-selling sports game of all time? Best-selling sports game of all time? Did I see
think
that
it's, the, it's like U.S. highest. I don't, it's something where it beat out like a random 2K NBA 2K game from like 4 years ago. I'm like, that's weird. I would think that just in my head, and this is maybe just me being a kid when it came out, but like 2K11 when they had Jordan, when they brought Jordan into the game, I would have said that's the highest selling one. But I was also 15
so
or 14.
This is the headline. EA Sports College Football 25 is the best-selling sports game of all time in the U.S. The random 2K game you're referencing is 2K21.
Yeah.
November. Was 2K21, considering the release cycle, was that middle pandemic? Like 2020?
It normally comes out in like September of the year previous.
So maybe that played a part in it selling so much.
Yeah, that probably helps.
Yeah. But these numbers aren't juiced by a pandemic. It's It's juiced by a decade of not being available.
Oh, that too. Yeah. And real ball.
And real ball, yeah.
But yeah, so Joe bought the game last week. And a PS5. He had to actually get a PS5 as well. And just today, or earlier this week, probably Monday, he, myself, Josh Beard, and someone else, one of Joe's friends, started a online dynasty, and he chose Boise State, and he regrets it because the blue turf is hard to see.
Yeah.
It's hard to see like the icons on the blue turf.
Now he's got to deal with it for the entirety of your dynasty.
Yeah.
These are the decisions you have to take into account. Yeah. Yeah. You can change anything about your program for the most part, except, you know, where they play and what it looks like. So screwed. We'll see if that changes in 26, whether you'll be able to edit the stadiums and the field.
That'd be very funny. If you're Greenfield.
Just because he can't take it anymore. Boise's the thing they've been known for close to 30 years. He doesn't want it anymore because it hurts. It hurts his eyes.
Yeah. So, he dropped the first game of the season.
Who did he play?
Utah State.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, hot seat already for Joe George.
I know. They have high expectations over there.
Well, they're in the playoff. They should. We move from Joe as already a mistake by the AD at Boise State to Titus Howard. Titus Howard played guard in a move that didn't come down, at least we didn't hear about it until Friday afternoon before the game against the Dolphins. A lot of thought was it'd be Zachary Taylor or Kenyon Green back playing guard. Did not happen. They decided to move Blake Fisher to right tackle, move Titus Howard to left guard. And Titus Howard, a known tackle. He wants you to know he's a tackle, and he also wants you to know he's willing to do it for the betterment of the team.
How was it to go back to guard? Because it was kind of a popular talking point before. D'Amico's brought it up. Bobby brought it up today. What was it like when the when the idea was first thrown out there, and what made you open to it?
Just trying to do what I can do so we can win. Got a couple guys down now. Got guys down. We had Blake who come in at tackle, so I was open to moving, you know, so to help the team so we can get some more wins, clinch the division. Just trying to do what I can do to help win. I feel like last week was pretty solid. I'm not going to lie. Pretty good game. A couple plays, you know, here and there, you know. Just got to get back used to being inside. But I thought it was a good game. So
you're
trying to build off of
it. You're enjoying it a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a tackle. I like playing tackle, but if I can play guard and help us win, I'm going to do that. You know, we all got a goal is winning a Super Bowl and going deep in the playoffs. So that's what I'm trying to do. And if I being a guard right now, is that's the way for us to do that, I'm going to have to do that.
Consummate team player, Titus Howard. The narrative around him is changing, maybe. We've talked about it a couple times. The right tackle only thing was about an evaluation that he was given before his NFL career started. Not any statement about what position he wants to play, according to people who say they know. The timing was odd when the right tackle thing and his Twitter profile became noticeable. But hey, we'll take unnamed sources at their word, I guess. But he's going to be a guard for now. What that means going forward, Blake Fisher was drafted to start at some point, and it comes late in his rookie year. So if Blake Fisher plays well enough where the Texans don't have any concerns about his future at right tackle, then Titus Howard is either a guard for the Texans or he's getting traded. I don't know what other conclusion there could be. You don't draft Blake Fisher in the second round, play him late in the year, in his rookie year, and then say, you know what, that was just a temporary thing. Unless he's a complete disaster. If he's a complete disaster, you make whatever move you have to make. But did what happened on Sunday kind of signal the end for Titus Howard, unless he's very willing to stay at left guard? I think it does. Unless what he said there about helping the team and we got goals is a thing he will take on in the offseason and going into next year and say, you know what, best for the team if I play left guard. I don't feel like that's a long-term solution for him or a long-term thought for him. So I think as long as Blake Fisher continues to play serviceable and he's serviceable, I think Titus Howard is going to be someone you can potentially look at being traded in the offseason.
Yeah, and it's something that Sunday made it, I guess, more apparent or kind of was the day the bill came due almost or started becoming due and that we're getting an extension on it for the next 4 or 5 weeks. But, I mean, when they drafted Blake Fisher, when they drafted a tackle in the second round, given the interior offensive line questions that we thought.
And it played out that way this year?
Yeah, and they drafted a guy who plays on the outside. That's when you're like, oh, this probably doesn't mean great things for Titus Howard long-term in Houston. And, yeah, I think Sunday's game against the Dolphins really kind of, I guess it was the dress rehearsal almost, or was they first crack at it. I wonder how much of it is like the Falcons going to Pennix now, where you're playing your rookie that you invested a decent amount of draft capital in, and you're getting their feet wet the last four games of the season for Blake Fisher's case.
And Blake Fisher is in a slightly different scenario beyond not being a quarterback, but also you've got a team who will definitely be in the playoffs.
Yes.
Now, Michael Penix has to try to rescue the Falcons to make the playoffs, but this audition is, at a minimum, as long as he stays healthy, 5 games.
Yeah.
There'll be a playoff game as well. And, of course, you want a longer run, but it's an interesting time to make the move, and I do think it signals that if Titus Howard still feels like he's the right tackle in this league, as you heard, he's going to be someone you're hoping for a second day pick and probably more like a third day pick when you try to trade him.
It's also a case for the Texans' perspective of, do you want to pay Titus Howard right tackle money to play left guard for you?
Feels like a bad way to dispense resources.
Yeah, especially because he's a serviceable left guard, but he's not, you know. You would still think you can do better, and you can do about the same for cheaper.
Yes, that is a thing. He is not going to be great at guard. You hope he holds up enough so you can make it through this year. But you're not paying him right tackle money to play left guard. That doesn't make any sense. He's not a good enough left guard to command that type of salary. Like, if he said, you know what, I'm a left guard going forward, and he was entering free agency, he's not getting what he's getting right now to play right tackle. So that's another thing they have to consider. How are they going to distribute resources across an offensive line that they've put a lot into and are still making changes deep into the 2024 season? So thank you. Thank you for your service, Titus Howard. But maybe don't buy a home if you haven't already.
He probably already bought a home.
Well,
he's played here for 5 years.
Find a realtor.
Okay. Or, you know.
Or maybe you love Houston. You want to stay?
Yeah.
That's possible. Home. That's possible, too. But
although
I was,
during the summers, probably.
Yeah, is it a great place to be during the summer if you don't have to be? We live here.
You heard the Stephon Diggs. Did you play it on the morning show?
No.
We played it yesterday on Gallant
George.
What
did he say?
Where he was talking about how much he was on Good Morning Football talking about his future and stuff. And he said, like, yeah, I feel like, you know, it could be Houston. Like, there's a lot of stuff to figure it out. I enjoyed my time there. He was like, although if you are moving to Houston, get ready because it gets hot in the summer. He's like, it gets really hot. I knew it was going to be hot. It's way hotter. He like takes a total aside on like the question of like, hey, so what do you think your future holds in Houston? To go, man, it's hot in July in Houston.
Yeah, if he's going to have to, if he wants to return, he will be taking the weather into consideration, and rightfully so. We all know. I mean, he ain't telling us anything we don't know. It can be brutal. And we don't even play football.
No, we don't.
Like Stephon Diggs begging for the bubble. Hey! Can
I
we get
a couple clouds?
That's right. Yeah. A short rainstorm. Let's go inside. And this man played in Buffalo. He hasn't exactly had mild temperatures in the different parts of the football year.
Minnesota, Buffalo, Houston. Yeah, that's about as extreme as you can get.
At least in Minnesota. I know they recently built a practice facility, a nice one, but I think he always at least got to practice inside during the winter and play inside. Except for those years where they were at the Gophers Stadium because they were building the new one. Was he with Minnesota?
I think that was before his time. I can double check.
It might have been. So he hasn't exactly had mild temperatures. He's played in very cold weather. And then Buffalo, we know, snow is always a thing late. And now practicing in the summers of Houston. So we'll see if Stephon Diggs is back. He's doing the tours right now because what else is he going to do? And he's been saying a lot of positive things. What that means for his future, probably not much. That'll be a business decision by him and the Texans. So we'll see. We are what we always are, behind schedule, but not really. So Sean, I'm going to put you on the spot here because of a story that's happening with Paul Pogba. Paul Pogba is an international soccer star. At least he was. He's currently serving a ban for doping. It was going to be 4 years, but the courts, the Italian soccer courts decided, you know what, we're only going to give you 18 months because we don't think you did it on purpose. You got duped by a Florida doctor. Cut to Alex Rodriguez. Sean, his brother tried to extort Paul Pogba. His brother, along with others, it's very much out of a movie.
Wait, Paul Pogba's brother tried to extort him or the Miami doctor? Florida doctor.
Okay, let me clear it up.
Not Miami.
It probably was a Miami doctor, but it did say Florida doctor, I think. His brother is trying to extort Paul Pogba.
Okay.
Along with the help of a group of the brother's friends. They got together and said, you know what we're going to do? Let's extort your very famous rich brother.
Okay.
It's very much a movie plot.
But like C movie plot.
Or a Netflix streaming show plot, whatever. So, I'm putting you on the spot. Think about your family.
Okay.
I'm not going to ask you who would you most likely extort. Because I don't want to paint you in a bad light. Maybe this question won't lead you to be very public about it because, you know, saying someone in your family would extort you can't cause some issues. But think about the people, let's say the people in your life then. Okay. Maybe you don't want to limit it to your family. Think about the people in your life and say, and right now, answer. Who's most likely to extort you? Would it be someone as close as someone you grew up with, like in your own home, like a brother? Or are you talking about a cousin you barely ever see? Can you think of someone in your life that if you you came up, say you, like we've done this thing before, say you became the producer or a radio host for Spotify and the Ringer Network or whatever, whatever made you more valuable.
Yeah.
Where they know you got a bag. Ain't a Paul Pogba bag, but you got a bag and you're doing what you want to do. Is there anyone in your life who would be like, you know what? Let's see if I can get some money out of Sean. Because Paul Pogba, then of course you would have had to actually do something to get extorted. Paul Pogba's brother was going to extort Pogba and Kylian Mbappe for whatever he thought they did. So anyone come to mind?
I think it's hard, and this is where I can sympathize with Paul Pogba, because I don't think if you asked Paul Pogba this question, he'd say, probably
true.
My brother.
That's so
it
true.
Is, it would
true.
Be someone yeah. you don't expect.
It's not a, it's not a bad point.
Everyone is Mufasa with a scar in their life, yeah. where you're like, I mean, his name is Scar. He's well, clearly I mean, evil.
If you go by what they're doing with this prequel, apparently Mufasa was the orphan, right. and Scar brought all him right. into the family.
I don't buy this.
Okay, I'm just telling you what Disney's putting out there. That's all.
It's not canon.
It is. It actually is.
It goes against the established
The original,
canon.
Yes, the established canon does go against that.
I could see. I could see some
You could see a couple
of
people,
yeah.
or at least some friends. But you won't mention the names, because why would
start I do
that?
It?
Yeah. How does that help you? Yeah, I heard you.
Yeah. Oh, and especially because the next 2 days I'm going to be out in public doing the show. You know, they yeah. might run up on me on the at the listener party.
Yeah.
Please don't.
Please don't.
To
Please
extort
don't.
Me. Please don't extort me at the listener.
I'm
party.
Asking you one thing this holiday season. Please don't extort me. So, Paul Pogba's brother decided, you know, it's got to hurt. You're the lesser Pogba. You play soccer too professionally. But even in the article, it's mentioned he never got past the lower leagues in Europe. And he thought to himself, let me try to take money from my brother.
I need to know their relationship, like an explanation on this, because like why wouldn't he, like even if you are just like a, you know, you're the Thanasis to his Giannis.
Yeah, Thanasis would never.
No.
Because there's a meal ticket there.
Yeah, maybe Kostas.
Yeah, who knows what he's up to.
But like even then, like wouldn't you just be like, hey, can I just be like your manager and you pay me whatever, $75,000
yeah. Is Pogba one of those brothers who's like, you got to go earn it on your own, and that pissed off Matthias, and you go, oh, okay, I got to earn it on my own.
I'll get it on my own. Okay, I'll get it the way I know
yeah,
how.
Yeah, you're just not going to like it. So Pogba did pay the group that his brother was a part of like £100,000, which is equal to $104,000. So they did get some money out of him, probably not the extent of which they wanted.
No.
But they got some money, and now Matthias is in court. Damn, man, extorting your own brother.
That it's like a – actually, it's more like a TV show plot.
Yeah,
I
think so. Like Law and Order. That's a Law and Order one, I think. It wouldn't even get like prestige TV. It wouldn't get like an 8-episode arc. It'd be a 1-episode
– Or it's like a – or if it is like technically prestige, it's like on Stars, you know?
Yeah. But would it get
it's
the season
– Actually, it's just, this is a power plot.
Yeah, but would it get the season-long arc or would
no,
it be like
no,
a one
no.
episode?
It would be like the half season or like a B plot in the
– And we find out at the end, or at least the character finds out at the end that his brother was behind the whole
thing.
Yeah,
that's why he was on the phone all the time or something.
Like,
you know, something.
Like we get the sense – we're ahead of the character. We get the sense of brothers.
Yeah,
bad news.
We just watch – something's up with Matthias.
Yeah,
right?
We're just waiting for Paul to
he
figure out –
He has a giant
out.
Scar over his eye. Come on.
And he runs with, like, these laughing guys who never stop.
He's the only guy who hangs out with the hyena.
Yeah. You might want to take a little notice that the hyenas
evil
are...
of all the animals.
Yeah, what are we doing? Of course, I like, there's a guy named Kevin Richardson who, like, an animals activist, goes, actually, hyenas, despite the cartoons, not bad.
I know there's no animal that's inherently
the evil.
Evil,
yes, but we've seen enough TV and cartoons to have our own opinions, and stay away from the hyenas if you're a main character in a highly anticipated Disney movie.
Stay away from the wildebeest. Too.
Yeah, well, I could do without Timon, if we're being
honest. Whoa. Pumbaa, you're all right with?
Yeah.
Pumbaa kept his head down.
Head down. Just kept grinding.
He was just trying to get some bugs.
Timon.
Always had a wisecrack.
Yeah. Timon out there making moves, trying to get his name out there.
He's a hustler.
Yeah.
Timon's a hustler.
I see you, Timon. I know what you're about. Too bad Paul Pogba didn't know Matthias was about that life until it was too late. So there it is. Sean won't mention names, and I respect it. Who's looking for that type of trouble?
Yeah, I have people local that actually listen to this. So I have to be very careful.
I don't have anyone local. I'll offend anyone. It wouldn't matter. And then say, hey, I'm just doing it for the show. We're just doing a show here.
I haven't had to use that, but trust me, I will at
it's
some
in the,
point.
It's in the top.
I'm playing a character.
Yeah, this isn't Sean, the guy who shows up at Thanksgiving. No. This is Sean who's doing the radio show. This is Sean A. Mapes, not just Sean.
Exactly.
All right. Understood. 713-780-3776. If you want to tell us who would extort you in your life, you certainly can call us. Or you can just listen to Sean talk about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. Maybe that's why people are trying to get my hands on this money. I've been winning so much on Prize Picks during Pick-Miss, where you can win up to 1,000 times your money. They have discounts going on all month long to help you win some money, including Nikola Jokic to score more than half a point on Christmas Day. I think Nikola Jokic has it in him to score at least 1 point on Christmas Day. So during December, we got so much going on. We've been talking about the Texans. We're going to talk about the college football playoff games coming up, even the bowl games. If you want to get in on the bowl games and you want to say, hey, I know I'm going to watch Cal, UNLV. I don't have much to watch for. Maybe I want to see Jaden Ott go for more than 53.5 rushing yards. Then you can do that on Prize Picks. You download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES to Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you place your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free. Select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9-3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details. Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free, select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.